Welcome to Nashville Anthems, dissecting 80s and 90s country music. I'm your host, Melton McManaberry of sister podcast Propaniacs, a King of the Hill podcast, and I want to thank the band Brisket Alley for bringing us today's theme music. Listeners, I don't know how you found us. Maybe you just found us when it all felt right, but I want to thank you for listening. This project is fun for me to do, and it's fun to know that you're out there listening. Today we drop the twang and turn our souls fully blue-eyed as I talk to you somewhere out there about pretty little Adriana. So if you haven't already, I hope you'll give this song a close listen or two. Let's give credit where credit is due. Pretty Little Adriana was written and recorded in 1996 by Vince Gill, one of the undisputed giants of 80s and 90s country music. Similar to Seminole Wind, there were no co-writers on this song. This was all Vince Gill. Gill is definitely a singer-songwriter. It's common for him to be the only writer on his songs. That's not as common for some of the other songwriting singers we've talked about, like Garth Brooks and Travis Tripp, or even John Anderson, but very common with Vince Gill. This quality combined with Gill's famously skilled guitar playing give Vince Gill more of a one-man show vibe than anyone else we've covered so far. Pretty Little Adriana appears on Gill's 1996 album High Lonesome Sound, Gill's eighth kind of proper studio album, but his fifth since he really hit the scene big with his fourth album, When I Call Your Name. The song won Gill one of his many Grammys for Best Male Country Vocal Performance, and it reached number 2 on the country charts, held out of the top spot by Brooks and Dunn, A Man This Lonely. The song was produced by Tony Brown. So before we get into some key features of this song that make it what it is, I need to own up to the fact that I do not remember this song, folks. It's not like it was an also-ran of the era. As I mentioned, it reached number 2 and won a Grammy. I may not have been listening to as much country music in 1996 as I was earlier in the decade, though in flipping through the charts of that era to see this song's chart history, I saw plenty of songs on there that I'm quite familiar with, so I'm not sure how this song got by me back then and apparently has stayed off my radar ever since. But either that happened or my brain just deleted it from the database, and I'd believe either. But regardless, I've listened to it now no fewer than 1 million times in prepping for this episode, so I think I'm ready. Enough with the appetizer, Milton. Get to the main course. All right, I'm on it. Here are what I thought were the main features that make Pretty Little Adriana what it is. Similar to our first selection with Patti Loveless, any discussion of a Vince Gill song really has to start with Vince Gill's voice. Vince Gill has a distinctive and instantly recognizable voice, and I'm going to do my best to describe it. The term that comes to mind for me, and understand that I don't use this term disparagingly, is nasally. In the previous episode, the Diamond Rio episode, I used that same word to describe Gene Johnson's high harmony. And Gill does have that same nasally, kind of thin, in a good way, pure tenor that Gene Johnson had. Gill's voice, as his guitar playing on the track, for that matter, is twang-less. Very different from the twang-heavy style of Diamond Rio that we talked about in the last episode. Though, just to complicate matters, Gene Johnson's voice in Diamond Rio, like Gill's, is not twangy. None of this is that cut and dried, is it? Anyway, Gill's voice and really the whole song fall under what's commonly called blue-eyed soul, meaning that it's a white version of a soulful style more common in African-American music or more commonly associated with African-American music. We use that term on this podcast to describe Travis Tritt's soulful vocals, but if Tritt is channeling something like Ray Charles, Vince Gill is pulling more from someone like Al Green or maybe Luther Vandross. It's a smoother, sweeter soul versus a rootsier, grittier sound like Travis Tritt.
Sure have a pretty smile, it sure has been a while.
Bobby played his guitar on the hardest side of town.
Gill's is a vocal style you would typically associate with two things, neither of which apply to Pretty Little Adriana, which is kind of what's interesting about Vince Gill. A voice like his you'd associate with background vocals and with bluegrass. Gill's voice is suited to background harmony vocals because it's in the right register, in other words, high, just like the aforementioned Gene Johnson's vocals in Diamond Rio. Practically speaking, to sing harmony, especially with women, as Gill commonly did, you'll hear him a lot on harmony vocals on Reba McEntire's and Patti Loveless's recordings, you need to be able to sing high, and Vince Gill can certainly do that. He regularly belts out A's in this song. In fact, belts out's not the right term. He regularly just sings A's with that pure voice that he has. Doesn't really sound like he's reaching for them or belting them at all like it did when Travis Tritt was singing them, because his voice is just naturally in such a higher register. Vince Gill is very much a tenor, and he just can sing high seemingly with ease.
Oh, my pretty little lady.
His voice also naturally blends well with others because it's not overly twangy, but has a natural smoothness and purity. It's just simply a good fit for most other vocals. You're the only one. Contrast that with someone like John Anderson and how we talked about the high level of character in his voice. It's hard to hear John Anderson's voice harmonizing with someone else's, right? Because of those unique qualities that give it such a cool character. Interestingly, Gil's voice is distinctive, as in it's instantly recognizable, but it somehow manages to be distinctive in a smooth, pure way that lends itself to harmony. So in addition to thinking of Vince Gill's voice as a voice that suited the background vocals, you'd also be justified to think of Gil's voice as a bluegrass kind of voice. You'd even be forgiven for thinking that he, like Patti Loveless, is from Kentucky. He is not. He, like Garth Brooks, is from Oklahoma, in fact. But his voice feels like it was transplanted from wherever Patti Loveless grew up, because that nasal quality is very much a bluegrass hallmark. By the way, shout out to my favorite show, King of the Hill, and its episode where Vince Gill makes a voice cameo as Boomhauer's singing voice when he sings Blue Moon of Kentucky is in the episode where they all go to Branson. So kind of the interesting thing with Pretty Little Adriana is that neither of these aforementioned things apply to this song. Obviously, Gill is singing the lead vocals here, although actually I think he is also singing the harmony vocals, but that's not what's featured. And the song is not bluegrassy at all. And that's really what makes Vince Gill an interesting artist, because he does import this pure bluegrassy vocal style into styles of music where you wouldn't normally expect to hear it. Are you lonesome tonight? And exactly the style of this particular song is the key feature I want to get to next. So we might describe this song's style as pensive and subdued. On the pensive side, the song makes heavy use of apostrophe. And if you remember that literary term from your high school English classes, you'll know that apostrophe is when a speaker talks to someone who wasn't there. We briefly mentioned this in the episode on I'm Gonna Be Somebody, because in that song, the speaker in the chorus, Bobby, addresses naysayers that aren't there to hear him. He apostrophizes those naysayers. Pretty Little Adriana takes that idea further, in that the whole song is really apostrophizing the subject of the song, Adriana. We know she's not actually there because Gil sings, I'll find you when it all feels right. So, in fact, not only is she not there, the speaker doesn't even know where she is. He has to find her. There's a lot of ambiguity in that statement. Will he ever actually find her? He doesn't really seem to know. What exactly will lead to its feeling right? Who knows? The song is doing very little in the way of making definite statements to an actual audience, and doing a lot more in the way of just expressing less concrete feelings to no one in particular. The speaker asks Adriana, in a nice Elvis reference, by the way, are you lonesome tonight? We also get lots of just mournful cries of her name. So the speaker doesn't know where she is, or really what her situation is either. He seems quite out of touch with Adriana, actually, in real life, but clearly she is in his thoughts a lot, hence the pensive apostrophe. That's some of what makes the lyrics pensive. Musically, a lot of the feeling comes from the nature of the chords that Gil and the band are playing. The song makes heavy use of major seventh chords, which if you want to sound like you're staring out of a window on a rainy night, apostrophizing a lost love, major seventh chords are your best friends. The major seventh chords generally appear when the four chord comes up. This song is in the key of F major, which sounds like this. So the four chord is B flat major, which sounds like this. But in Pretty Little Adriana, I think this happens every time the four chord is played, actually, that B flat chord adds an A major note and becomes a B flat major seventh. That A note is the dissonant note because it clashes with the B flat. And it's the note Gil leans on in the chorus a lot. It's that high A we talked about earlier, which is sung over that B flat chord. So don't ask me why that particular dissonance makes you think, but it does, and it's a big part of the feel of this song. There are also a lot of sixths in there, especially when the tonic chord, the F chord, is played, the sixth being a D note. So an F major with an added sixth sounds like this. The sixth on the tonic kind of has the same effect as the major seventh on the four chord. So absent are the blue notes that we've talked about a lot on this podcast, and in their place are more smooth, soulful notes like sixths and major sevenths. So the overall style of the song combines the pensive lyrics and chords with a highly subdued, lazy kind of feel. The speaker is in no hurry. The longed-for meeting with Adriana isn't coming anytime soon, and kind of sounds like it may never come. So he has plenty of time to pine away. There's no need for driving percussion to propel the song down the dirt road or over the shallow water of the Everglades. Gil is taking his time here. One of the ways the song accomplishes this subdued feel is by incorporating space. Some of that is literal. This is not the cluster of instruments we've heard on some other songs, like Ain't Going Down Till the Sun Comes Up, for example. Rather, there are just a few instruments, each playing a few notes, with plenty of empty air around them. No instrument feels like it's clamoring to be heard here. They're all filling holes or not filling them, just sounding content with the effect that space produces. Lyrically, the song does have a lot of words, so it's less about there being open moments without lyrics in the song and more about how much feels unsaid in these lyrics. Doesn't it feel like there's a story here that Gil knows and presumably Adriana knows that we're just not privy to? A good example is the line, "It sure has been a while." It tells you Adriana is not just long gone, but long lost. In other words, something great, some private shared pleasure was there when she was present, and we'll never know those details, and that greatness is now lost, probably irrevocably. You know, I can't help but notice and point out the Eagles' influence here. To me, the song is dripping with it. The Eagles, at least in my mind, are characterized by a super unrushed, laid-back version of American rock and roll, typically featuring sparse instrumentation and high, harmony-heavy male vocals. As a whole, Vince Gill seems to have more in common with the Eagles than with anyone else, certainly than with highly influential country acts of around that same time. Think Merle Haggard, Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, George Jones, and tell me which Gill more resembles, any of those four or the Eagles. In fact, at the time of this recording, Vince Gill is actually a member of the Eagles, so the connection is pretty cemented at this point. And Eagles' influence specifically is not something we've mentioned at all in this podcast before, but it has come up in a big way here, and it's something that we'll look out for going forward. How much are the Eagles responsible for the specific character of 80s and 90s country music that this podcast is trying to understand? Well, stick around and let's see what we can discover. And now let's recap Pretty Little Adriana. We really talked about two key features of this song, the first being Vince Gill's bluegrassy, blue-eyed soul voice, how it permeates the song, and how it kind of doesn't fit with the overall style of the song, which was the second key feature. This pensive and subdued, Eagles-influenced, apostrophe-heavy song. It does sound like Gil is kind of lazily staring out a window and thinking about someone who's not there and may never be there. And that is really what makes this song feel the way that it feels. Speaking of, folks, it all feels right to end our discussion of Pretty Little Adriana right there. So, let's find out what we'll be covering next time on Nashville Anthems. I'm going to pull up Satellite Radio's 80s and 90s country station right now and see what's playing. We have another Diamond Rio song. This song is How Your Love Makes Me Feel. I look forward to discussing that with you. You guys know Diamond Rio is my favorite country band, so I'm looking forward to this one. I'll meet you back here in 2 weeks to talk about it. In the meantime, you can find me on Instagram and Facebook or email me at meltonmainterberry@gmail.com. And thanks for listening. See you next time.